We begin the current daf Masechta Nedarim, daf Nun Vav. We begin at the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again continuing in the thread and the theme of the previous Mishnayos and of these two Perakim, which are called Perak HaNoider, which in this Perak is called HaNoider Min HaYarek again, which is the concept when you make a neder, forbidding yourself from something, and that is, it's Kalashim in the Adam. We have to define what do people normally mean when they use a certain word, and what is going to be within the scope of that neder. So the Mishnah begins. Hanoidim in Abayis, if someone takes a neder forbidding himself from a house, so mutuba aliyah divrei meir. Meir says, so although you're permitted, you're forbidden from the main floor, but you're permitted actually from the upper story. And that's because according to a meir, when someone says a house, he means that which is connected to the ground, but not that which is an upper story. That's not included in the neder. Chacham ayim, they argue. They say, no, aliyah b'chla abayis. They hold that the upper story is included in the house itself. But they agree, Hanoidim ben Aliyah, if someone takes a neder forbidding himself only from the upper story, then mutar b'bayis, because that obviously will not be inclusive of the whole house, only from the upper story, and therefore everyone would agree that then you're permitted in the house itself. Now, elaborating on this, the Gemara says, Mantan, who's the town of the following b'raisa? It says in the Pasuk, Beves. This is when it talks about the halachas of Negoyim, of Tzaras, which is on a house. So it says there in the Pasuk, Beves Eretz Achuz Aschem, if you're going to find a nega in the house of the, which is going to be in the land of your inheritance, meaning in Eretz Yisrael, so then you have certain halachas. So the Braisa there says, when it says Beves, is L'rabbis Es HaYetziah. This comes to include not just a regular house, but also a veranda, which is an attached house, a little apartment to the house itself. Now the Ram points out that this is the Girsa that we have in our Gemara, but Taisus brings not to have this girsa. The reason is because in Teres Koyanim, actually it's taught the opposite way. It says that we learn out that Bekiris Habayis, that the nega has to be in the walls of the house and not in the Kiris Hayitzia. The halachas and the goyim do not apply in the walls of the veranda. So therefore, Rav Moshe Bar Shneir, he brings, has a different girsa, not of Yitzia, but rather Larabas Es HaTzavua, which is that even a house that's dyed with many different colors, that will also be included in the halachas of Negoim. And the reason why we would think not like that is because we would think we would compare the halachas of Negoim in houses to the halachas of Negoim in garments. Because by a garment, if it's colored garment, it actually does not have the halachas of Negoim. Because it says in the Pasuk, Tzemer Pishtim, and we learn that just like by Pishtim, it hasn't changed from what it normally was. So to Tzemer, although that could be dyed, the halach is that it's the same as Pishtim, and the halachas of Negoim do not apply if it's dyed. So you would think the same thing would apply by houses. That's the Kamash Malam of this Bryce that we're quoting in the Gemara, that Beves comes to include even if it's Tzavua, even if it's dyed. But either way, whichever Girsa that is, the primary question of the Gemara is on the second Ribui. It says Beves, it says in the house, so besides including either Yetziah or Tzavua, it's also Lerabbis Es Aliyah. It includes also that the halachas of Negoim will apply to the upper story. So who is that like? So Amrav Chizkiah says very simply, Reb Meir, it must be going like Reb Meir, and that's why you need a pasuk, a drasha of Beves to include also the Aliyah, because as he says in our Mishnah, generally in the common terminology of people, an Aliyah is not included in Bayis. So therefore, according to Reb Meir, you would need to have a special drasha to say that, but here we're including it, that it is in those halachas of what normally for a Bayis. Because as Rav Chizkiah says, the Rabbanon, if the Tana of that Braisa would be like Rabbanon, Ha'am Rabbanon Aliyah B'chal Bayis. What do you mean? The Rabbanon say, whenever you say Bayis, a house included is the upper story. So Lomali Kro Beves L'Ribuya, why would I need to have Beves, a special Ribuya and inclusion? A Drasha exposition to include the upper story, what do you mean? If the halachas of Negoim apply to a Bayis, of course an upper story is included. So that Abayama, he argues, and he says, no, Afilatem Rabban, you could say the time of the Bryce is even like Rabban. Still Baye Kroy, you would still need to have a Pasuk to include Aliyah in Halachas of Abayas for Negoim. Because the Sulgadad Ramina, we would have thought to say that by Nega it would be different, because Beves Eretz Achuzaskim Ksiv, it doesn't just say in a house. It says in a house of the which is from the land of your inheritance, which that sounds like, that which is attached to the ground, that is what's called the bayis. Aliyah hole mechaba ba'ara, but the upper story is not attached to the ground. So you're right, although generally, and even how people talk, an upper story, according to the Chacham, is included in bayis, but here it uses the words eretz, which sounds like that it's only a house which is attached to the land. That's called a bayis for the halachas of negayim. But an upper story is not. That is why, even according to the Chacham, you would need to have a drasha beveis to include even the aliyah. So therefore, again, this bryce could be like either one of the opinions. Now, continuing on the same line of questioning, the Gemara asks, okay, so Kaman Hazla Had the Amar Rav Huna Bar Chiya Mishmei de Ula. Who is this following halacha of Ula going like? Is it like the Rav Meir or the Chacham? Ula said the following halacha. He said, Bayis Beveisi Ani Moich Halacha. If a seller tells a purchaser, a house of my houses, I'm going to sell you. So Ula says, Halacha is Mareyu Aliyah. So if the seller wants to, he could show the purchaser that, you know what I sold you? That one of the bayis in my bottom that I sold you, I meant an upper story. Now, although that's worse than that which is a ground floor, however, the halacha is that the lekiach, the purchaser, has the lower hand. Because, as we always say, I told you bayis shebe bottom. I didn't tell you which one of the bottom. So therefore, could be the one that I sold you. And if you disagree, you have to prove, the onus of the proof is on you, the purchaser. I could tell you that which house did I mean, which dira, I meant the upper story. Now, on that, the Gemara says, Taimer de amalei bayis shebe bayis yane moichalach, the inference is, because he used this terminology of a house in my houses, that's what I'm selling you, that's why it sounds like from the halach of Ula that it could show him the upper story that he was selling him. Aval bayis tam inu marei bali, it sounds like, but if he just said, I'm selling you a house, that then he can't show him and tell him that what the house meant was an upper story. It would have to mean a ground floor. So on that, the Gemara says, Lem Reb Meir hi. That sounds like that Ula's halacha is going like Reb Meir and not like the Rabbanan, because according to the Rabbanan, even when you don't say bayis shebe beisi, just you tell someone bayis ani moichalach, I'm selling you a house, he could show him the upper story, because according to the Rabbanan, an aliyah, it has the same terminology as a bayis. Just like we say by neder, when you say, I'm forbidden in a bayis, it includes an upper story too. So here also, when you're selling somebody a bayis, according to the Chachamim, just from the fact that you say bayis should include an upper story. From the fact that the way Ula says it is only because he said bayis shebebeisi. Okay, bayis maybe means a ground floor, but when you add on bayis shebebeisi, that is an inclusionary term to include even the upper story. That would seemingly be like Remeu, who holds it generally, an aliyah is not included in the term bayis. So that the Gemara says, no, Afilatim Rabbanan, you could say that the halacha of Ula is going like Rabbanan, but it's actually a whole different halacha. My aliyah, what does Ula mean? When he says that if someone tells somebody else, to the purchaser, bayis shebebeisi ani moichalach, that then he could show him the aliyah, it means mu'ula shebebatim, it means the best of his houses. In other words, marei aliyah could have two definitions. Either like the Gemara had in the Havamina, when they thought it's like Reb Meir, where that actually would be the halacha according to Reb Meir, that Marei Ali, I mean, say he shows him the upper story, but Ali could also be defined as Me'ula, as the better one of what he has. In other words, according to Reb Meir, the interpretation was that he has to show him, that he could show him that Aliyah, which is something that's against the better will of the Lekeach, here Marei Ali is actually against the better will of the Meicher, meaning he has no choice, because since he told him bayis bebeisi, actually that terminology sounds like the creme de la creme, meaning the house of my houses, not just a regular house I'm selling. I'm selling my house of my houses. And therefore, according to the Chacham, when Ula said Marei Aliyah, he means he has to show him the best of his houses. But you're right. If he only said, I'm selling you a house, then they could show him not the best, they could show him just the regular, and of course, as we said, according to the Chachamim, that would even include showing him an aliyah. Now, and the Ram just points out that the Gemara Masechtas Menachos in the second parak actually has that conclusion of that, so it's actually the opposite of how our Gemara concludes, but according to our Gemara, that's the way it's concluding and saying that the aliyah doesn't mean the upper story, according to Chachamim, it actually means the Me'ula Shebebatim, he has to show him. Actually, the worst off here is the meicher, not the way it was, like we said, like Remei, that the lekech gets the worst off. He's the meicher, since he used bayis bebeisi, he has to show him the best house that he has. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again continuing on the same theme. Hanoidim in hamita. Someone takes a neder, prohibiting himself from a bed. So mutu bedargish de Remeis Remei holds, and as we'll explain in the Gemara what exactly a dargish is, that dargish is different than a mita, than a bed. So therefore, although it's very similar, but it's not a bed, so therefore, although you're prohibited from a mita, you're permitted in a dargish. V'chacham arm, they argue. They say, no, dargish b'chol mita, it's very similar, and therefore when you use the terminology of mita, it includes those which are similar to it, which is a dargish. But everybody agrees, hanoidim and hadargish, since that's a specific subcategory of a bed, so if you make a neder only from that, so then muta b'mita, you're obviously going to be permitted in the larger umbrella of mita, because although dargish might be within the framework of mita, mita is not within the framework of a dargish. So the Gemara asks, my dargish, what is this dargish? So Amma Ula Ula says, Arsa de Gada, it's a bed of good mazel, which is that they would put a bed in the house for mazel, which is that the world works according to certain divine emanations that come from the upper constellations that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them certain ways of running the world. So that's a thing for mazel. That's the thing they would put into the house, was the certain bed for mazel. Now, that's Ula's interpretation, so therefore we see that it's not like a regular bed, because people don't usually sleep on it, but it's still a bed, and therefore that's a machlekes Reb Meir and the Chacham. Now, Amli Rabban Ula, but the Rabbanan asked on Ula's interpretation, and they said, but how did now? We have a Mishnah Masechet Sanhedrin that says as follows. Kishehein Mavr Noise, when they would serve the king his first meal, when he became an oval, if a king, let's say, loses one of his close relatives and he becomes an oval, a mourner, so the halacha is that your mavrin, the first meal that a mourner eats, has to be from other people that they give him food to eat, not his own food. So the halacha is that when they're serving this meal to the king as a mourner, so kol ha'am mesubin al aretz, so all the people are sitting on the ground, v'hu meisav al ha'dargish, and he sits on the dargish. Now, on that, the Rabbanan asked to Ulam, kula shata lo yosav ala. All year round, the king doesn't sit on the dargish, because as we said, the dargish is not there for people to recline on. It's there for the angel of the house with this mazel. Now, hahu yayma, but now this day, suddenly when he becomes a mourner, yasav Allah, he's sitting on it. According to your interpretation, this dargish is not something that people recline on. It's something that's there for mazel. So then, why would it be something that he would be sitting on as a mourner? So on that mask of the Ravina asked, on this question that the Rabbana asked on Ula, and they said, what do you mean, what's the question on Ula? Mida de hava basa bayayin, it's just like meat and wine, and that is the kula shata all year round, ibaya achel vi ibaya la achel, the king or any mourner, if he wants to, he could eat and drink wine or not. Haihu yayma ananya vinle, but that day, yes, something very unique happens the day he becomes a mourner, and that is we suddenly give him wine to drink. And that's because, like the pasuk says, v'yayin lamari nefesh, the wine goes to the bitter of the soul, which is what a mourner is. So therefore, what Ravina was responding to the question is that you're right, although all year round he doesn't sit in the dargish, but we see that this day is unique and something differently is done. Like, normally a person has a choice of drinking wine or not, but this day we give him, that's because he needs it, so to hear also. The dargish, maybe usually you don't recline on, but maybe this day is different. Say Eloha Kasha. Rather, the Gemara says the question on Ula is from a different source. The time that we learn the Braisa. The Braisa says, Dargish Lohoyu Krefeho. The halach is that in the mourner's house they turn over all the beds. At least that was the halach in Talmudic times. But the Braisa said that Dargish Lohoyu Krefeho. But this Dargish, they wouldn't turn it upside down. Elazaikva, they would keep it standing up. Now, Ve'i Amrit Arsa the Gadahu. But if it's like you, what Ula, that you say that this Dargish is a bed of mazel. Now, v'atanyu le nabraisa ha-koif es mutasa, he's someone that turns over his bed as a mourner. Lay mitasi b'vahu kaifa, he doesn't just turn over his own bed that he reclines on. Ela kol mita sheyesh lebetecha b'ayis u'kaifa, he turns over every bed in the household. So the question is, if you're defining the dargish as a certain type of a bed, so then why is not that being turned over? Because he has to turn over not only the bed he reclines on, but every bed. But according to you, that it's a bed, why is it not being turned over? So now the Gemara says, Holei Kasha. Now that's not a difficulty on Ula as we continue on Talmud Beis, because Midi Dehava Amitam Yuchedus Lekalim, it's no different than the bed which is designated for putting utensils on it. The Tanya, like we learned, no Braisa. Imhoisa Amitam Yuchedus Lekalim, if it was a bed that was designated for putting utensils on, and then the halacha is Ein Tzarich L'Chayfa, then you don't have to turn it over, because since people don't sleep on it, it doesn't have this requirement of turning it over, which is necessary as an oval to turn it over, but that's only because a bed that's slept on. Whereas that's in contrast to a bed that's designated just for utensils. And same thing for the dargish, although you're right, it's a bed, like Ula said, but you don't turn it over because it's not meant for reclining, it's meant just there to be for mazel. So Eli Kasha HaKasha. Rather, the Gemara says, but if there's a question on Ula, it's this question. The Tanya, like we learned there in that Brisa, although the Tanya Kama said that the Dargish, you don't have to turn it over, he said that, no, the Dargish, you're right, although you don't turn it over, but Matar Karvita, what you do is that you untie the loops that keep this, the bed that's attached to the frame, and then the bed, the mattress part, the part that you recline on, falls down by itself, so it's not attached to the frame, and that will be the fulfillment of the turning over. You're not going to turn it over, you'll just untie the loops and let it fall down. Now, that, the Gemara asks, on Ula, v'i dargish arsa degadahu, and if it's true, like you, Ula, said, that a dargish is a bed, it's just a bed of mazel, which is, you know, people don't sit on, but it's a bed, so karvitin mi islay? Does a bed have loops? But it's made like other beds. It's just people don't recline in it, but it's like a regular bed. And the thing is that regular beds don't have loops because loop would only be there if the intention was so that you could easily undo the mattress part that's attached to the frame. But a bed is there to stay forever. And if it's there to stay forever, so then you don't have loops. So if you're saying that this dargish is also a bed, it's just there for mazla, no one's sitting in it, but it's like a regular bed, so why would it have loops? Obviously, it's not like your interpretation that this dargish is not an arsa degada because we see that this dargish has loops and a bed would not have loops. So rather, the Gemara gives a different interpretation. Ki asa Ravin Amar, when Ravin came, he said, She'elti l'ahum rabbanan. I asked from the following rabbi, and Rav Tachlifa b'amar Ravish, his name was Rav Tachlifa from the west, meaning from Eretz Yisrael, Tavashriach b'shuku detzali. He would frequent the marketplace of the leather workers. V'amali, and he said to me, he says, my dargish, you want to know what dargish is? It's arsa ditzala. It's a bed that has a spread, meaning the mattress is made out of leather. And what they would do is that they would tie straps at the edge of the leather bedding, all around the edges of the leather bedding. Now, when they wanted to have it up, that a person could recline on that leather, so they would loop the straps into the side posts of the bed. So the side posts had holes. And since the edge of this sheet, which was the leather bed that was slept on, it had on the edges these straps. The straps would go and loop into the side posts. Now, that is why we said before that it has loops. And that's moreover the halacha that we said from Reb Shimon Gamliel, that when you would untie the loops, so then the bed would fall by itself. And that was the karvitav that was mentioned before. Now, according to this interpretation of the Gemara, this machlekes that we have between the Tanakama and Reb Shimon Gamliel regarding, although we said every bed you have to turn it upside down, but the dargish, the Tanakama said that you don't turn it upside down, is because since it's made out of leather, so if you're going to turn it upside down, and moreover is that the bed frame does not go beyond the upper part, meaning many beds have that the frame goes higher than the bedspread itself. Here it doesn't go higher. So since the leather piece, if you're going to turn it upside down, is going to be on the damp, wet floor, and some other times they didn't have even regular floors, it was on the dirt floor, so then it's going to get ruined. So Tanakama said, so therefore you don't have to turn it upside down. And that is what Reb Shimon Gamliel said, that no, there's another way to avoid the problem, is because since it has loops, just undo the loops, and then it's going to fall down, and so it's only going to be the bottom part. It's not going to be the part that a person lays on, so it's going to be the underside of the leather. That's not going to be a problem, and therefore he says you undo the loops. But again, now we have an understanding and interpretation of what dargish is. It's not like a regular bed, but it is a bed. It's not like just a bed of mazel. It's a bed made out of leather, but again, that's what we said. That's the machlokes in our Mishnah. They're going to be the same thing, or they're going to be different. And moreover, that's the halacha that we see that it differentiates regarding the halacha of turning over the bed. Since it's going to get ruined, you don't turn it over. Or at least what you do is you just undo the straps, the loops, and let it fall down. So too, we learn Itmar, Ezehu mita ve'ezu dargish. What's a bed and what's a dargish? Shalom Rabbi Yirmiyahu says, mita, a bed, misargan oisa al gaba. What you do is that you strap the loops over the side posts of the bed. And that's more of a permanence, and you do it with rope. Dargish, however, and that's where we said that's a little bit different, is masargan oisim migufay, is that you loop it from within this, inside these holes in the side post, you loop it inside, inside the which you have hanging from the edge of the leather. You tie it inside and you make loops, and you don't do it over the bedpost. Now, on that interpretation, the Gemara asks Meisiv, we learned the Mishnah Masechtas Kelim as follows: Clay eats me'emes and mekabel tuma. When does a wooden utensil, in other words, when's it considered finished, that then it will be able to contract tuma? So the Mishnah brings examples: hamita of a arisa, a bed and a crib for an infant, is mishayishufim ba'ur hadag, is when you smear it with the skin of a fish. And that's because that smooths the bedpost to make it beautiful. That's when it's the finishing touches. That's now it's finished. Now it could contract tuma. Now that the Gemara asks on Rabbi Yirmiyah, the imita mista regis al gabah. And if it's true the way you said, that a bed is different than a dargish, because although a dargish is looped in, and then we said you could just undo the loops and have it fall down, whereas a mita is the ropes go over and it's really tied on to over the side post of the bed. So lama li shipas ar hadag. Then why would the Mishnah Masechtas Kelim need to be considered as the finishing touches of the bed by scraping it with the skin of a fish? But it's always covered the side post with the edges, with the tops of the ropes that go over the side post. So if you're covering in the area with ropes, because the rope's going to go all around the side post, that's how it attaches the frame to the bed itself. So what would be the point of putting on finishing touches and putting on something that makes it shine if there's no purpose, if it's always covered? So Elirad, the Gemara says a little bit differently. You're at Havaha Megufan. Both the Mita and the Dargish are tied within the frame, within the side post. There's holes in the side post. The difference is Mita a Ule Vafuki Bibzini. And that is that when you tie on the Mita's bed, is that there's holes in the side post, and you put the edges of the ropes that are tied on to the bedspread itself into the holes itself. So those parts go into the side post. But dargish, a uli vafuki bavaksa. The truth is that by a dargish, the straps that are attached to the bedspread don't ever go into the side post itself. And that's because what is by a dargish is that there are loops that are always permanent, that stay there in the holes in the side post. Now, in those loops is what you then loop in and tie in the straps from the leather bedspread. That's what's attached to those loops. And that's what's different between the mita and the dargish, is that although by the mita it's more permanent because what you tied on, that's tied forever, is into the side post itself. So that's why he said that mita is one thing. Dargish in that sense is less permanent, and that's how we saw Reb Shimon Gamliel said that you could just have it drop down, which is unlike a regular bed, which you don't have drop down. Because here, all you have to do is undo the loops. Because what happens is that the bedspread itself is tied onto the loops, and the loops are around the side post. It's not that the straps itself are in the side post, and that's the difference between the two of them. And again, that was the machlokes that we had regarding, in our Mishnah, is making a neder from a mita going to include the dargish or not, because they are a little different. And so to regarding the halachas of kaifin esa mita for an oval, what exactly do you do regarding the dargish? Now the Gemara points out one more halacha, that Amr B'Yakov Ba'ach Amr Rebbe says, mita shenakli teho yaitzen, regarding a bed, that the naklitin come out. The naklitin are these two long beam-like poles that are standing by the edge of the beds, one by the head of the bed and one by the foot of the bed. And on the top of these pillars, there's a line that's cut into the top. And in that hole, they put in a beam that goes from the foot of the bed to the top of the bed. And on that beam is where they hang over a canopy. Now, those are the beds that are covered with a canopy. Now, there are those who they make these nakliten, which are the foot of the bed and the head of the bed, permanent into the bed. And that's what the term yitzin, that means it comes out, it's attached to the bed, and it comes out from it. And hence, those types of beds, you can't do this kaifen that you do by the house of the mourner to turn it upside down, because since these beams are standing out, you're not going to have to turn it upside down, because these large sticks by the head of the bed and the foot of the bed, So that the Gemara says Zikfa Vidaya. So there what you have to do is you can't turn it upside down totally, so you just push it on its edge, and that's going to be enough because you obviously can't turn it upside down. Now the Gemara concludes this discussion. Amr B'Yakov B'Idi, Amr B'Shu Ben Levi, the halacha is K'Reb Shimon Ben Gamliel. That again, as we quoted before, he says that what you do by the dargish is not like the Tanakhama, that you don't have to do anything, because if you turned it upside down, the leather would get ruined. Rather, as we explained, since the dargish is different than the mita, in the sense of that it's not attached to the bed frame itself, to the side post, all it is attached to the loop that's looped around the side post. So what you do is that you just open up the loops, and then the bedspread itself will fall down to the bottom, and the leather will not get ruined, because it's only the bottom of the leather that's hitting the ground. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again continuing on the same theme. Hanoi de min ha'ir. Someone takes a neder, prohibiting himself from the city. So mutar likanes l'tchum shel'ir. So he's allowed to go into the city limits, meaning the boundaries, which is the halacha for halacha Shabbos. There's something called tchum, which is there's 2,000 amas that's beyond the city proper. And actually that begins from, as we're going to see, the next halacha of the Mishnah, which is going to be Ibur Shalir, actually begins after 72/3 amas of the city, but meaning from the city itself, there's a 2,000 amah limit that one is allowed to go on Shabbos. That's called Tchum. So though that's related to the city, but it's not the city proper. So therefore, although you made a neder from the city, you could go into the boundaries, the Tchum, this city limits of where you're allowed to walk on Shabbos. But for us, likunis li'ibura, but you're not allowed to go into, and this is the concept we just mentioned, to the ibur, which literally means like the pregnation, which is the extension of the city, which is 70 amas and 2/3 near the city, that's considered part of the city. So that you can't go into. But the tchum, you are allowed to go into. And the reason being, as the Gemara will explain, is because up until the tchum, although that's related to the city, but that's not called the city, but the ibur is called as part of the city. Now, aval hanoidim min habayis, but if someone takes a neder from a house, there he's asur min ha'agaf lifnim. There he's prohibited, when he's saying from the house, it's only from the part of the door where when you, although there's a lintel, there's a door frame, but wherever it is that you close the door, that from that part and inside is going to be forbidden as part of the house that you took a neder from. But whatever is outside, from when you close the door, even though that's within the door frame, that would be permitted, and that's why the Mishnah used the terminology of Aval, that's different than the city, because although the city, where it closes, it's not the end, the Ibur is still part of that. Here you would think that the door frame would be the same thing, and that is what the Mishnah is saying, that no, that it's only where the door closes that is considered from the house and inside. But beyond that, even though it's by the door frame, it's still going to be not part of the house, and therefore that would not be considered part of the nether. Now the Gemara asks, "Minolan di ibur demasa kamasadame." How do we know that this ibur, the 70 2/3 amah extension of the city, is considered part of the city proper? And therefore, when you make a neder from a city, it's including that part of the city. So Amar Biyechin says, because the amakra, there's a pasuk in Sefer Yeshua that says, "Vayehi beyes Yeshua berichay begoyim," that it was at the time when Yeshua was in Yerichay, and that's the whole incident that happened where Malach came to him. So the question is, "Ma'i beyerichay?" What does it mean that Yeshua was in Yerichay in Jericho at that time? If you think it means Yerichay, but then it says it actually in the next parak, in the next chapter, it says, they were waging war against Jericho. But the city was closed off totally, it was impenetrable, no one was able to get in. So how could it be that at that time Yeshua was in Yerichay? Rather, from this we can infer that he wasn't in the city itself, but he was within 70 amas and 2/3 of Yerichay, that's where he was. And therefore it's considered that he was in Yerichay, so you see that it's part of the city itself, and that's why it's called that he was in Yerichay. Now that the Gemara asks, maybe he was within the Tchum Shabbos, he was within 2,000 Amos, and that's why it's called Yerichay. So that the Gemara says, no, Haksib Betchum, because the Pasuk says regarding the Tchum of a city, as it says in Pasuk in Bamidbar, and that you should measure from beyond the city, from outside the city, 2,000 Amos. So we see that the appellation, the description of the tchum of the city is called chutz le'ir, out of the city, and it's not part of the city. And that's why we said that although you're forbidden when you take a neder from an ear, from the ibur, from the 72/3 amas, but from the tchum shabbos of the 2,000 amas, one is permitted to go into that area. Now the Mishnah then said, however, but hanoidim and abayi, if someone that takes a neder from the house, ena asa elim and agaf alafim, he's only forbidden from the part of the door that closes. From that area and inside is considered part of the house. Now, the inference is, But from where the door closes in outside, even though that's under the lintel that's in the door frame, that's not going to be us, so that's not part of the bias. On that, Master Ramari, Ramari asked from the following bias, there's a pasuk in Mayikra that says, V'yatza ha-koyim in ha-bayis, that after the koyin sees this house that has a nega, so he has to go ahead and close it up and declare it tame, he has to go ahead and do hezger first to see maybe it's going to change, whatever's going to happen to it. So it says, V'yatza ha-koyim in ha-bayis, says the koyin goes out of the house that has the nega. Now, if that's all the pasuk would have said, so the bais says, Yochel yelich lebeisa v'yaski, you would think to say that he could go to his house, meaning the koyin could go to his own house, and from his own house, he could then close up that house. How? By having a very long string. A very long rope would be attached to that other person's house who has a nega, and he could close the door from his house. Tamalayma, that's what the pasuk continues and says, no, he goes out of that house, el pesach habayis, to the entrance of that house, which sounds like that you have to be standing by the entrance when you're closing up shop, and you can't go all the way home and pull it with a rope. Now, el pesach habayis, in other words, had it only said that he goes, if it would have said v'yotza ha'koin el pesach ha'bayis, if it would have said that he goes to the entrance of the house, and it wouldn't have said the words before of that v'yotza ha'koin min ha'bayis, that he goes out from the house, so then, yochel yama, you would think that the koin could stand underneath the lintel, on the threshold, tachas ha'mashkif, underneath the lintel, v'yasker, and he could close it over there. Tamaloyma min ha'bayis, that's why you need the words that it could have just said v'yotza koyin el pesach habayis, a koyin goes out to the entrance of the house, and it doesn't say that. It says that he goes out min habayis from the house that comes to teach you atchayitza min habayis kuloi, until he leaves the entire area of the house. Haketzad. So what does that mean? How is he supposed to do it? Oymid b'tzad hamashke v'yasker. He can't be in the doorframe, but neither can he be too far in this house. Rather, he has to be standing on the side, meaning right next to the area of the door frame, and that's where he closed it from. Now, moreover, the Braisa says, how do you know that if he did go home and he closed it from home with a long rope, or if he's standing underneath the lintel, he didn't go out from the door frame, and from there he closed it, that after the fact, that it will be a valid hezger in halacha, meaning of closing it up for the halachas of a neg of a house. Tamalayma, that's what the pasuk teaches, although, look at Chil, you shouldn't do this, but v'hizgir esabayis, it says that, okay, and he will close up the house, mikol makim, however it is that he closed it, after the fact, that will be a valid closing up of the house. Now, but one thing the Gemara's question is that it sounds like that why did we need, from the as the Bryce explains, that the pasuk has to say, v'yotzah koin min habayis, that the koin has to go out from the house. If it's saying he's going out to the entrance of the house, obviously he's leaving the house. So that the Braisa said, to teach you that he has to leave the entire area of the door frame, which is underneath the lintel. Now, that's the Gemara's question. The fact that you needed min habayis to teach you that, obviously, that whatever is beneath the lintel, whatever is in the door frame, even from what's called min ha'agef l'chutz, from outside of where the door closes, would normally be considered part of bayis. And that's why we need to have a drasha, the yatza min habayis. You have to leave the entire area of the house. Now, that contradicts what we said before in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said that taking a neder from a bayis is only what's within the door frame, meaning from where you close the door. But beyond that, even though it's underneath the lintel, it's not considered part of the bayis. But that seemingly is contradicted from this brisa that said when you have to leave min habayis, what's it teaching you? You have to go outside the entire area of the door frame. Now, that's telling you because you're leaving min habayis. Now, what do you mean you're leaving? You're leaving the bias. The bias is, I thought we said bias is only what's within it, where the door closes. And from the bias, it sounds like, it's not only from where the door closes, from the entire area of the lintel of the door frame. So that the Gemara answer is no. Shani gabe bias, which some of the Farshim add the word hamanuga, meaning that the halacha over here that we're talking about a house that has a nega is different. Because the chsiv min ha bias, because there's a superfluous part, the two words of from the house, which that is what's teaching you atchayitza min habayis kula until you leave the entire house, meaning even the area of min ha'agaf ulechutz. And the reason is you're right. Generally, bayis is only min ha'agaf ulefnim, from where the door closed and within. But since the Torah didn't have to say the words min habayis, it's totally seemingly superfluous Because it already says in the pasuk, "V'yotza ha'kohen al pesach habayis." It says that he goes out to the entrance of the house. Obviously, that means that you're leaving the house. So what that means to say is that, so what are we adding on min habayis? An even further leaving. And that is, you have to leave the entire area that's underneath the lintel. Again, as we said, because if it didn't say min habayis, then we would have thought to say that yes, that you could, although it's telling you that you're leaving the house because you're going el pesach habayis, that you could stay underneath the lintel, what's min ha'egef ula chutz, and you could close up the house with a negel like that. Because although it says that you're leaving, obviously you're leaving el pesach habayis, but the halacha is like our Mishnah, that min ha'egef ula chutz is kula chutz. The only reason why min habayis is teaching you that when you're leaving the house, it's even including the part of min ha'egef ula chutz, is only because that's an extra term which is telling you a further leaving. Because the pasuk already tells you b'yatzah kohen without the words min habayis, el pesach habayis. And that, you're right, would not mean min ha'egef ula chutz. It would only mean from what's min ha'egef ula fnim. And that's because, like our Mishnah said, bayis does not include the part of the lintel that's beyond where the door closes. It's only because of the extra term of min habayis. That's what teaches you a further leaving of even min ha'egef ula chutz. You can't be anywhere underneath the lintel, and therefore that doesn't contradict the halacha of our Mishnah.